coming at you. I'm addicted to stress, that's the way that I get things done. If I'm not under pressure, then I sleep too long, and I hang around like a bum. I think I'm going nowhere, and that makes me nervous. Everybody's out to get me, but I feel alright. Everybody's out to get me, but I feel alright. Everybody's out to get me, but I feel alright. Everybody's thinking about me. Little things are good.
This is Not Enough Coffee for That Amount of Syrup, written by DePatty and read by Sunkeestadora. Warnings for discussion of therapy and seeking help. Scott's laughter, all bright and hopeful, echoed down the hall from the kitchen. Stiles was pretty sure that's what had woken him up. If Scott isn't in his apartment, Stiles might have a jovial ghost. But really, weirder shit has happened while he's lived here. Like talking raccoons eating all his popcorn while their tree bestie gave a running commentary of the movie they were watching. Stiles was still surprised a creature could convey that much subtext with only three words. Wait, did he smell pancakes? Was Scott making Ms. McCall's secret recipe pancakes? Stiles scrambled out of bed and nearly concussed himself by getting tangled in the sheets. At least nobody but Jarvis saw that. You all right, buddy? Scott called. Freaking werewolves and their hearing and misplaced concern. Darcy said something that sounded suspiciously like, my favorite klutz. Which, rude. Stiles freed his feet with great dignity and made his way down the hall. Oh, good. Scott beamed at him. I was getting ready to send Darcy to wake you up. I'm glad you didn't. She tickles, Stiles said, sliding onto a stool at the counter and giving a nod to Clint and Darcy sitting on the other side. Clint's eyes were still half-masked, and he had a band-aid over the bridge of his nose. Two of the fingers clutched around his mug had similar bandages, Stiles noticed as Clint drained the last of his cup in salute. Aw, coffee, Clint muttered, looking sad at his new lack of coffee. Scott flipped the pancakes in the pan, turned the bacon, and then reached to refill Clint's mug. Clint smiled sleepily and went back to sipping. Darcy patted Clint's shoulder and scooted a plate over to Stiles. A plate with scones of, like, three varieties. You don't bake, Stiles said, suspicious. And these don't look like the ones from that French bakery? Clint bakes, Darcy explained, beaming. He made these for brunch. Clint shrugged, like highly trained sharpshooters just bake shit all the time, and said, Darcy said we were having brunch. Scones are totally a brunch thing. Katie told me they were. Kate Bishop understands the importance of variety at brunch, babe. Darcy nodded, patting Clint on the cheek. But that's not why you're here, Stiles said as it occurred to him. Because scones didn't just happen without any reason. These were concerned scones. Scones of emotional significance or something. Ah, damn it. Stiles really needed to start paying more attention to these things, but he'd been so busy. You're right, Darcy said, face stern, allowing for no bullshit. That's not why we're here. You've completely exhausted yourself like you do every midterm, so much so that your alpha called me to check on you.
We should probably talk about your spatial awareness and what Tony might have done to your stove, because I was here most of the night and you didn't notice, Clint added.
You baked all these in my kitchen? Stiles asked, focusing on that one detail. He'd just have to start small and work his way out to the bigger issue. Like, he could admit to maybe freaking out about this. He'd very much like to just go back to his room and hide under the covers. Their concern was stifling.
He hated being reminded that he worried people on occasion, well-meaning or not. And since when did people outside of the pack not put him on high alert when they were in his space unannounced? Had he been that tired? Maybe. That cold last week had really kicked his ass, and he couldn't remember the last time he'd had a good night's sleep. Midterms were always this way. Hell, his entire life was based on dealing with immediate threats and short naps. Yeah, Clint answered, looking far more awake than he did previously. Clint would be way too fast if Stiles tried to make a move back to his bed. He'd probably do some sort of assassin shit. Stiles could admit that he'd need actual pants if he was going to physically try to outmaneuver his problems. Right. Never mind. Important questions. But why didn't you use the communal apartment that you Avengers types share when you're in the city? Stiles asked, squinting at him. He still wasn't focusing on the rest of it. He refused. There is not enough coffee in the world for him to deal with all of their concern yet. Clint scratched the back of his head, sheepish.
Jarvis locked me out and would only let me into your place, he answered. Your couch is surprisingly comfy, by the way.
Scott put a plate of pancakes in front of him, smiled gentle, and placed a hand on Stiles's hand.
Oh, come on, Stiles said. Why are you giving me the fond, you idiot, look? It's totally unwarranted. Seriously, things are totally great.
Because you are an idiot who does a really shitty job of taking care of himself and dodging his whole pack while insisting that he's fine, Scott said. Lucky you've got more than a pack who cares about you.
Darcy pointedly polished her nails on her sleeve and looked pleased at herself. Clint tipped his coffee cup in Stiles' direction. Stiles sighed, trying to hide how touched he was about the whole thing.
Yeah, he agreed quietly.
Scott gave his hand one final squeeze and plated up pancakes for Darcy and Clint, who both used an amount of syrup that should have been outlawed for being excessive. So much that he was sure that maple trees in Canada were weeping. Stiles must have made a face because Darcy said, "What?" around a mouthful of pancake. "There's just not enough coffee for that obscene amount of syrup," Stiles scoffed, smearing his own pancakes with butter and a reasonable dash of maple syrup. Scott had even warmed it. Scott was the best. Clint stuck his tongue out at Stiles in protest. Stiles thought that maybe Clint had spent too much time around Kate Bishop. Kate tended to bring out his youthful side, but currently that meant pancakes and syrup everywhere. "So what's next during this intervention of my idiocy?" Stiles asked, polishing off his second helping and a lot of bacon.
"You are going back to bed and we're taking a nap," Scott said. "Then maybe I'll kick your ass at Mario Kart."
"Clint and I will be back later," Darcy said. "We're going to go to the farmer's market. Natasha is going to make her super secret pasta with that sauce with all the basil."
"Wow, I had worried you guys," Stiles said, biting his lip. He really needed to work on functioning like a person who took actual care of themselves and not whatever the hell he was doing.
Darcy stood and punched his shoulder. "Stop doing that," she said, giving him a pointed look.
"Yes, ma'am," Stiles winced, rubbing his arm. "That really hurt, by the way."
When he looked at Scott for backup, he found that Scott was beaming at her.
"Rude."
Darcy grinned smugly as she pulled Clint up and out the door. She was such a fantastic little shit. Stiles waited until he heard the elevator chime down the hallway.
"Were you worried, like, more than usual?" Stiles asked.
He knew that Scott worried about him. To have Scott McCall in your life was to have his earnest, heartfelt concern. Sure, sometimes he'd get distracted,
But if you really needed him, even when you didn't realize it, he'd come over to your house and climb through your window if he thought he needed to check on you. He'd then give you a Reese's cup if he thought that would help and cuddle you until you fell asleep. Such close contact had been hard to maintain, mostly falling to the wayside with college and distance making it hard. Styles not calling Scott back if it wasn't urgent kind of put a damper on things, too. It's just... Styles kept overly busy for a reason. Scott couldn't just alpha the nightmares that kept Styles up most nights away. He couldn't make Styles just stop overdoing everything when he was on the other side of the state at school, especially not if Styles wouldn't answer his phone because he didn't want to hear how concerned Scott could be. As much as talking with Scott could ground Styles, he seemed to be at a loss soon after they'd hung up. Styles knew he'd been getting worse in terms of coping, but he hadn't realized how bad until his best friend was across the kitchen island. Scott concerned and here because he wanted to make sure Styles was going to be okay, because he had a plan.
"Over the summer, even though you're back in Beacon Hills, you do better," Scott started, pulling a stool over to sit next to Styles, right in his space, arms nearly touching.
"I guess," Styles shrugged, wary as to where Scott was going with this. No matter how careful, everything still felt so delicate.
"No, you do," Scott said, "even though it's harder for you to hide. But here, you just shut us out, and it's like you put a hold on whatever progress you made over the summer. Almost like you're having more trouble than even in high school if the hours Jarvis said you keep are true."
Styles raked his fingers through his hair. "That's not what I'm doing," he said after a few moments. "I'm not backsliding. I'm still trying to cope."
"Why?" Scott said, oh so gently, then sighed. "Look, we're all pretty messed up about things still. And because most of us look like we're doing okay, doesn't mean we are. It's okay if you're not fine, Styles. It's okay to need help and ask for it instead of not answering your phone and doing coursework or extra hours at the coffee shop or the library until you pass out."
Styles looked at Scott then. Scott's face was open and so patient that all Styles could think was he really got lucky by peeing on this dude's sandcastle all those years ago. "Okay," Styles licked his lips, bracing himself. "I'm not even remotely all right, and I have no idea what to do about it." Scott smiled at him, proud.
"Truth."
"Don't look so smug," Styles grumbled, bumping shoulders with him. "Get to the point of what you're gonna say. I can tell when you've gotten together a plan. I always see it a mile off."
"So, Allison found this therapist who works with our kind of stuff," Scott explained, eyes never wavering from Styles's. "He does phone work, and he's been helping her and Derek. And me."
"I didn't know that you..." Styles swallowed. "That you were actually, you know, dealing with shit. I thought you were pretty okay. Shit. I'm a really shitty friend."
"No, you aren't."
"Well, a little,"
Scott allowed, smiling wryly. "Say shitty again."
Scott placed his hand, firm, on the back of Styles' neck and gave a squeeze, grounding Styles.
"Shitty,"
Styles parroted, rolling his eyes. "I hadn't realized how much I hadn't dealt with, you know," Scott said, earnest now. "And when Allison said that she'd been seeing someone, that Derek was actually doing therapy, I realized that maybe I should talk to someone too."
"But you've been fine," Styles said.
Scott had been. Styles would have noticed if his best friend wasn't okay.
"Mostly. A lot of dad stuff, for the most part," Scott shrugged. "Nothing you could have just scowled away. Stuff that took me a while to be ready to talk about." Being ready can be hard, Stiles said carefully, and Scott smiled, small and hopeful. You wouldn't have been ready before, he said, gently and oh so softly. And if any of us had tried to make you get help, you'd have just hidden that much harder, acted that much more like you were okay. Scott's thumb smoothed small circles against Stiles' neck. We love you, and we want you to be okay when we're far away, even if you've got superheroes to make you scones.
Hey, this scones business was new to me, Stiles protested. But, yeah, I hear you. Maybe I should talk to someone about shit.
Good. Scott smiled, hint of relief tucked into the corners of his eyes. And if you don't want to talk to who the rest of us are, I'm sure Darcy can put you in touch with someone through S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever spooky-doo spy organization she works for.
Oh, God, Stiles groaned. You, like, had a plan of attack and everything. How much did Lydia help you with this?
Scott blushed and shoved at Stiles' shoulder. Shut up. Lydia doesn't do all the planning when you're busy.
Just most of it, Stiles said.
And Kira, Scott joked. While Derek frowns about the whole thing.
That sounds about right, Stiles said, smiling, and felt, for the first time in a long time, that he wouldn't change any moment in his life that got him to this point. Maybe even especially the bad.
Trying to cut down on my caffeine consumption, so when I get up, I just have one cup of coffee, and I like to have another cup of coffee with my breakfast. And on the way to work, I like to get a cup of coffee, like the kind of cup of coffee that you get with the donuts. I never get the donut, I just have the cup of coffee. And when I get to work, I like to have a cup of coffee, because I like to have a coffee when I'm talking on the phone. It usually goes cold, and I need to get another cup of coffee, and it's lunch, and I have an espresso. Morning anymore, so I have a Diet Cola and another Diet Cola, but then I'm feeling fine and I'm feeling pretty sharp and I'm feeling pretty wired and I'm getting things done, but right about 2 I get this little tiny migraine. It starts by my eyes and it moves to the back of my neck and it moves to the bottom of my spine, but it doesn't get there till 5 or 6 o'clock, which is the end of the day, so I'm fine, 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 except when I have to work late, when I have to work late, which I usually do. Addicted to stress, that's the way that I get things done. If I'm not under pressure, then I sleep too long and I hang around like a bum and I think I'm going